Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch, Matt Douglas taking you up to 6 tonight. And then the OHSAA High School Football Playoff Preview. And then Matt and I jump back on again at 6:30 at WEOL.com Stream 2. Three high school football playoff matchups coming your way a little bit later on tonight. We head back to the hotline right now. We bring in Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, a pleasure to have you on as always, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Andy. Good to be here. Thank you so much. And I got to say, man, I'm happy that that rain stopped so those kids can actually get those high school games in tonight without too much hassle.
Well, it's going to be sloppy at most places all over this great state of ours, and some people would tell you that's a good thing. And, you know, those who have to wash those uniforms are probably dreading what the rest of their evenings are going to look like, but that's all part of the fun, I suppose. And speaking of fun, boy, we have a couple of really good college football matchups this weekend, particularly in the SEC. And I want to dive into the very first one here that features a pair of top five teams. And it's LSU, who is a 13-point home dog to Alabama. Now, for those who have seen Alabama play this year, you could see why that might be the case. Is 13 points kind of steep, though, in a game like this featuring two top five teams?
It's certainly interesting. I'll say that. I mean, I had Brad Powers on my show on Thursday, and he mentioned that this is the biggest underdog role ever for a top four team. The previous one was actually Auburn in the kick six game against Alabama a few years ago. You know, LSU at home, at night, Death Valley, probably about a 4.5 to 5 point home field advantage adjustment. So the fact that Alabama is a 14-point favorite out there right now suggests to me that Alabama is the highest power rated team that we've ever seen from the odds makers. And it's hard to disagree. However, who has Alabama played this year? They really have not played a very difficult schedule. LSU has played a lot of good teams. I think they've played five of the top 30 or 35 in my power ratings here this season. So, you know, LSU is tested. Alabama is not. But until Alabama gets tested, we have to assume that they can handle every challenge that comes their way. So, you know, LSU is just not real good offensively. I mean, they take care of the football with Joey Burrow. They've got an okay running game, but you know, can they move the football in Alabama? I guess we're going to find out.
And what's interesting there, too, is, and I want to go back to the point you made about Alabama's schedule thus far, not only are they beating teams, they are demolishing teams, and as a result, you know, they haven't really had to play their starters very much, and in many cases at all in the fourth quarter. So I think the other variable to throw into the mix here, too, Adam, is how will they respond when they have to play in these games in the fourth quarter when the pressure is definitely on?
I think it's a really excellent question. I mean, we haven't seen them do that since the College Football Playoff National Championship game last year. And furthermore, we haven't seen Tua Tagovailoa, you know, be in that role except for in the National Championship game. And that was a spot where Georgia couldn't really prepare for him. So curious to see what does happen, particularly in the second half of this game, if it is close, as you mentioned, because, you know, Tua hasn't been in too many of those situations and really hasn't had to play a fourth quarter yet this year. So I will be interested to see what happens with Alabama if it's a close game. But I will say this, Andy, Alabama needs a close game. They need one of those games where they can get that kind of experience just in case it happens when they get to the College Football Playoff, specifically the semifinal game, because I don't think it happens with Mississippi State or Auburn during the regular season. But they need one of those games where they have to play the whole thing out, play everybody in the fourth quarter, so that it maybe helps them a little bit if they do get challenged when the lights are exceptionally bright, you know, there in late December, early January.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that, and I think that anybody on that Alabama staff would tell you the same thing as well. You need a close game because you need to be prepared for when that's going to happen, when the lights are most definitely shining at their brightest. Want to stay in the SEC here for another marquee matchup on Saturday. Well, we're looking at a very similar situation in Lexington as Kentucky enters their matchup against Georgia as a 9-point home dog. Is this a game we should avoid altogether? I mean, I'll be watching for sure because it's awfully enticing, but Kentucky's been a very fascinating team to watch throughout the course of the year. Georgia has as well, for that matter, but a 9-point home dog in Kentucky, that seems pretty steep as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of intrigue about this game as well for obvious reasons, and I was actually down at Kroger Field when Kentucky played South Carolina. My wife is from South Carolina, so I've kind of adopted them as my second team behind the Buckeyes. So we went down there, did the Bourbon Trail, which I highly recommend to anybody out there that hasn't done it. But great atmosphere there. And I always root for these schools that are, you know, predominantly basketball universities. So for the football team to be having the season that it is, great for Kentucky. However, I think that the fun kind of stops. I think the balloon gets deflated a little bit this week. I've had this game circled for a long time. I don't think Kentucky is as good as they've played, and I also don't think that Kentucky's defense has really been challenged a whole lot this year. This will be the first time this season that they've played a team that's in the top 30 in yards per play against FBS competition. So the defense is above average, certainly, but I don't think that it's really as good as the numbers that the Wildcats have posted so far. Georgia's a legit team. This one is for the SEC East. The winner of this game will go to Atlanta and play Alabama in all likelihood. But you know, the remaining SEC games don't matter because of the head-to-head tiebreaker. So, you know, Kentucky in a spot that they've never really been in before. Lots of expectations. I think Georgia's better equipped for the hostile environment, and I think Georgia's just so much better of a team than anything Kentucky's seen so far. I like Georgia this week.
Boy, totally off topic here, but you mentioned that you went on the Bourbon Trail. You've been down to see games in Kentucky before. How great is the city of Lexington? I love that city.
Really, really cool place. Absolutely. And like I said, I mean, you know, it was nice to see such a crowd show out for football because of how good Kentucky has played so far this year. And really the catalyst for them was beating Florida for the first time in 30 years. That kind of got a buzz going here for the program. And then South Carolina played terrible in that game. But, you know, some good-natured ribbing from the fan base and, you know, a lot of nice people down there. And it was a really cool time, and I'd love to do it again and maybe even check out a basketball game at Rupp Arena.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you're right, to your point, Big Blue Nation's been a bit noisier in the fall than it has been in years past. There's no question about that. Again, we're talking with Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio as well. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Adam, want to take a look at one more college football game. We'll have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL tomorrow, a high noon kickoff. The Nebraska Cornhuskers travel to Columbus to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. You were telling me before we came on the air that there's been a little bit of fluctuation in the movement back and forth in the line here a bit.
Yeah, this is one that opened 21. I actually, from a personal power rating standpoint, had it 24, but I have no interest in touching Ohio State because I don't know how much they were able to fix over the bye week. The running game has been bad. The defense, we all know, has been terrible, giving up a lot of big plays. But Nebraska is a team that is much better than its record. They lost a lot of close games. Had a lot of things go wrong early in the year. They had some penalties. They had the debut for Scott Frost postponed. Akron didn't want to hang around. I don't think they had it in the budget to hang around. So they wind up coming back to the Rubber City. So Nebraska doesn't get that week one game. And things just kind of snowballed a little bit from there early on. Lots of penalties, some transfers, things of that sort. But statistically, they're much better than a 1-6 team. So there has been some sharp money from the long-term winners out there on Nebraska pretty much week in and week out here of late. And that came in a little bit early on in the week here. So you kind of wonder for Ohio State. I mean, last year after the loss to Iowa, they came out and decimated Michigan State in that game 52-3. Maybe that's the type of thing that they're looking to do here this week. But again, I have to see it to believe it. Do they need style points? Maybe. It would certainly help. But, you know, really Ohio State, I mean, if they run the table, they're in anyway. So it's one of those things where I think they just want to fix the problems that they've had, but that doesn't always translate to covering as an almost 3-touchdown favorite.
So you believe if Ohio State runs the table, they go the rest of the way without losing a game, and I'm assuming that you mean the Big Ten championship included in that mix as well. You think if they run the table, they're going to get in?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to put them in, just for the simple fact that, you know, if they beat that team up north there Thanksgiving weekend, when that team up north's going to be a top five team like they currently are, you still have a win over Penn State, and say what you will about Penn State and also the way that game transpired. You know, Penn State is still a very, very solid program. You have to beat Michigan State as well. We all know what Michigan State does as an underdog. You would hope probably to get Wisconsin or Iowa in the Big Ten title game just to make it safe. Right now it looks like it'll be Northwestern. But I have a real hard time expecting the committee to leave a big draw like Ohio State out of it. I think if you've got two teams with similar resumes, but one of them is the very polarizing Ohio State Buckeyes, everyone watches, Ohio State travels well, you either love them or you hate them. it's a big draw for the networks, and ultimately it's about money. It always has been, it always will be. The only question I have is if the College Football Playoff Committee takes matters into its own hands to punish the Ohio State program for not being more assertive with Urban Meyer and everything that happened earlier on in the season. But if the Buckeyes run the table and do everything they need to do and their only loss is that Purdue game, I think they still get in. I would just be terrified because they'd get in as a four, play Alabama, and it might get real ugly.
Yeah, it could. Based on the way Alabama's played this year, it could get ugly real, real fast. Well, the Browns have been pretty ugly for a while. There's no denying that. And odds have already been released and created for the next head Browns, or the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns, rather, whether that's still going to be Greg Williams or if it's going to be somebody outside the organization. Odds were announced a little bit earlier this week, and you and I had a discussion earlier today talking about how these odds are created. And I wanted to get your perspective on that, on something that seems like it could change so much over the course of the next 3 months.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and to be totally honest with you, in terms of the process, I'm not exactly sure how they come up with the prices, because one of the things about the futures market or the prop market with something like this is that you're never really getting true odds on something to happen, because the sports books really use these effectively to increase their hold percentage. A lot of times on a regular game, like the Ohio State-Nebraska game, your target hold percentage is somewhere in the 5% range. Somewhere between 4 and 6% is generally what the books are hoping to hold after paying out the winning tickets. It's a lot different with a market like this, like futures, like props, stuff like that. But one of the sports books in particular that has this in the offshore marketplace, and I won't name them because I don't want to open up any kind of can of worms there, but there's only $50 limits on these. So a lot of times what happens is the sportsbooks will use these as a marketing tool. It's a very cheap marketing tool as well because, again, $50 limits, you don't have to worry about paying out too many big-ticket bets. So it just draws some interest. It draws some mainstream media interest as well. You know, ESPN will tweet these things out. Fox Sports will tweet them out. They'll talk about them on, you know, whatever loudmouth talking show is out there in the morning on ESPN or whatever. You know, so that's really what a lot of these are. However, you can still take a lot of interesting things from them. Like you and I were talking before we started recording here that Zach Taylor is the favorite to be the new Browns head coach at plus 250, which means $100 will return, $250. And you and I were both kind of talking. We're like, we don't really know who this guy is, actually. It may be a little bit embarrassing to admit that, but he's the Rams quarterback coach. And I guess, you know, obviously with Baker Mayfield being the most important player in the organization, that does make some sense. So it's one of those things that's always interesting to see who the favorites are, who's getting bet, if there's some inside information out there. And maybe that's kind of the thought process here with somebody like Zach Taylor, who does seem like a name out of left field.
Yeah, and that's going to be a story that'll be a lot of fun for us to follow until the Browns hire their next coach, which is projected to be sometime, I would guess, middle of January, early February, somewhere in that general vicinity. Adam, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a good weekend.
Thanks a lot, Andy.
All righty. Again, that's Adam Burke joining us with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Time for us to take a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL.